Thank you, Lord. God is so good.
All the time.
All the time, isn't he?
Yes.
I have many different ways to start with what I want to talk about, but I think this is what the Lord wants me to do. So I really feel like this is a key season that we're in. And like there's things are about to happen that we've dreamed of, that we've heard of, that we've talked about, but haven't seen. And I feel like the Lord is just setting us up for His Spirit to move in just powerful ways. Powerful, powerful ways. And let me tell you why I'm saying that, just to give you some background as to how I come into this conclusion. Okay? So, you're all familiar with the many prophecies that have been spoken over the years in regard to this billion soul harvest and how the Lord is going to move in just a powerful way and sweep many souls into His kingdom. And, you know, there's always been speculation about the timing of it. I mean, Michelle and I, we started hearing about this when we were first married, right? In our 20s. And had people prophesy to us about how we will be involved in that harvest. And I do believe that's true. Although, you know, here we are. We've been married 36 years now. 36, getting close to 37. I think I got the number right. Yeah. If not, I'll hear it back at the campground. Okay, well, it's been 36 years. It hasn't happened yet. But I do believe we're on the precipice of it about to occur. And so I'm like super excited about that. So maybe that's like kind of point number one. The Lord has been prompting His servants, the prophets, to talk about this move for many, many years, decades now. Point number two. Prior to COVID, the Lord gave me a dream. And this was in November of 2019. And the dream was just like really unusual. I was in a dark valley, and I had many other Christian pastors and leaders and things with me. And we were fighting this battle. And we were fighting this battle against kind of an unseen enemy, but I knew there were two snakes. That's what I knew it was. It was two snakes. And we're in this dark valley, and it was like hand-to-hand guerrilla warfare taking place. And, yeah. And you couldn't, you know, and when you're in guerrilla warfare, it's surprise attack all the time. Surprise attack, surprise attack, surprise attack. And that's what it was like in this dream. And I'm in this battle. We're battling it out. And I finally get to a place where I come up out of the valley, and I'm up on this high precipice, and I'm looking down over this darkness that's happening. And the Lord prompted me to say or make a declaration over that. And it was, you may have won a battle, but you're about to lose everything, because the army of the Lord is going to be revealed, and He will turn away all of your deceptive practices. And that's what I was declaring in November of 2019. And then it was just a month later when you started hearing the rumors about this COVID thing that happened. COVID was such a sneaky attack, I think, from the enemy.
That's right. Exactly.
I felt like it was a sneaky attack from the enemy.
Yes.
And it was worldwide.
Right.
It was a surprise worldwide attack on the human race. And it felt like what happened there was, there's several different times in Scripture, this is a principle in Scripture, when the Lord is about to move in great power, the enemy tries to strike first to put a boomerang in God's plans. And so, for instance, let me just give you an example, a couple examples from Scripture. So prior to when Moses was going to be born and then set up to become the deliverer for Israel, the enemy sent an attack against all the male children in his day to kill them all. Because the enemy wanted to kill God's plan before it was even birthed. That's a principle. I feel like COVID was kind of like that. The enemy wanted to kill a plan that was about to be birthed by the Lord. And so he sent this worldwide attack. Think about what happened from COVID. There was a decline in fellowship. There was a decline in people reaching out to one another. There was this closeness that began to happen. Almost like people stopped learning how to love. You know? And so anyway, I just remember this dream that God gave me beforehand. And of course, as I was going into it, I was going, Lord, what in the world? Why are you saying this to me? But I feel like I know now why. His army is about to rise up. And this army of the Lord is going to be marching through the earth, declaring the glory of God and turning away and unraveling all the deception and deceptive practices that the enemy has, you know, unveiled and unraveled over these last few years. So that's my second point. The Lord started talking to me a lot about revival, and I've been thinking about that, and I've been studying about revival and studying about his army and what he's going to do. And I've just had some interesting encounters since doing that. And so this one I'll share with you. So I was going down to Georgia to visit my brother-in-law and sister, or brother and sister-in-law. And while I was there, I'm talking to my brother, and he's telling me, by the way, you're going to think, my gosh, this guy has all these weird encounters. And I do. I don't know why. So anyway, I'm talking to my brother, and he starts telling me about some move that the Lord is doing, and he starts saying things about Bolivia. And when I'm hearing him say Bolivia, I'm like, my attention was, you know, captured. Because the Lord had given me a dream about Bolivia a couple of years prior. And in this dream in Bolivia, I saw this pastor. So you're going to wonder, how is all this stuff pieced together? Well, hold on. So I'll get there. So I'm in this dream in Bolivia, which I've never been to before. And by the way, if you asked me to like name the different countries that are in the world, I would not have named Bolivia because I don't ever think about Bolivia. I never think about it. Anyway, so I'm in Bolivia. Never been there before. Never looked at it on a map. I couldn't tell you where it was before then. Anyway, I'm in the country of Bolivia, and I'm talking to this pastor from Texas. And anyway, I said, Pastor, why are you here? What are you doing in Bolivia? And he goes, I felt from the Lord that I was supposed to take everything that I had, sell it all, and invest it here. And I'm looking over this grand operation that he had there in Bolivia. He had this farm, and it was producing crazy large fruit everywhere you would look. It was just like a huge production, a bountiful harvest of fruit that was happening in Bolivia. And so anyway, you know, I told that, by the way, I told that pastor that dream, and he's thinking about what to do about Bolivia. And but anyway, so I'm hearing my brother 2 years later talking about Bolivia. And I said to him, I go, why are you talking about Bolivia? And he goes, oh, I didn't mean Bolivia. I meant blah, blah, blah. And then he said to me, but we have a friend of ours who's from Bolivia. He's a minister that was from there, and he, you know, is here in Athens. And I just felt a prompting from the Lord, like, I need to talk to this man. I need to go talk to him. And so I tell my sister-in-law, like, is there any way that we can get a hold of him or get connected with him? And she goes, well, I got his phone number right here, my cell phone. And She said, let me text him and see if he's available. He's sometimes out of town. So she texted him. Sure enough, he was in town. He was in town. His wife wasn't in town. And she said, well, is there any way my brother-in-law feels like he needs to meet with you? Is there any way that we can meet with you, you know, this weekend while he's here? Because he's only here a day. He texts back and he said, yes, please come tomorrow morning. So we go to his house. His name is Villalobos. So Fernando Villalobos. He's getting close to 70. I guess he's mid-60s or something like that. Yeah, probably about 70. And but the oddest thing, he's a Hispanic. He's from Bolivia. The oddest thing, we get to his house. He opens the door. He didn't say anything. He didn't shake my hand or anything. You know, he just kind of does this as he opens the door, like to let us in. And I'm going, And then he just kind of quietly kind of slinks over here into the living room area and over to the dining set and just kind of points, you know. And I'm like going, this guy's like super careful. I wonder what's going on. I wonder if he thinks like I'm like some crazy man or whatever. Maybe I look dangerous. I don't know. So we all sit down at the table. Hadn't hardly said anything. I think he might have said hello. That's about it. Sits down at the table, folds his hand, and he just looks at me. So I just started telling him about some encounters that I've had with the Lord. I told him about this dream I just told you about in regard to, like, I feel like the Lord is just about to move in great power in the earth, and he's raising us up his army. And then I tell him about this dream that I had in Bolivia, and I said, I feel like that's a signification, again, of a harvest that the Lord is about to release. And then I tell him about, I've been thinking and studying and talking about revival, and I just told him, I said, I just feel God is about to begin moving again here in the earth, and not just in the U.S., but all over. And so I'm talking to him about revival. And he, after I said my little spiel, and he just looks at me and goes, it's very interesting. It's very interesting what you're saying to me. And then he, you know, in a Hispanic accent, I'll try to do it for you. You know, I asked the Lord, will he please send somebody to my house and tell me about what he is about to do? I was talking to the Lord about this just yesterday. And then your sister-in-law calls me. It says, I have this man who wants to meet with you. And then I knew, this is the Lord. That's how it happened. So I think he was being like super, like, I'm not going to give this man one sign or nothing, because I am going to test him and make sure this man is not of the devil. I was getting tested. Oh my gosh. So then we just had a grand old day. Okay, so I wanted to tell you about this man. Fernando lived in Bolivia when the Spirit of the Lord was released in that country in an unprecedented way in the 70s. In the mid-70s, and you can go look it up, there was a move of the sovereign Spirit of God sweeping souls into the kingdom of God in Bolivia. I didn't know anything about this until talking to Fernando. He wrote a book about it. It's called The Word That Changed a Nation. You can find it on Amazon. And he talks about how God moved. God moved in a sovereign way through the young people there in Bolivia. Bolivia is primarily a Catholic nation, Catholic belief. They certainly were steeped in it much more then than they are today. There's more of the evangelical movement now in Bolivia. But in that day, it was super just filled with Catholics. And, you know, by the way, I'm not against Catholics. I'm just saying that's the condition they were in. And there were certain restrictions about how God would move and stuff like that in the Catholic Church. And so, but God began moving in the young folks there just in unprecedented, crazy ways. Let me tell you about some of those crazy ways. So God used this one young man. He was 19 years old. He was steeped in the yoga and, you know, Zen crap and just all of that. Well, all that stuff that goes with that whole bunch. You know, astrophysics or astro, all that, whatever that astro stuff is. All the occult. He was steeped in it. He was a teacher of it. He had television programs. He was teaching. At that young age, he was a leader in it. And God just sovereignly moved in that young man's life, showed him the error of that. He repented and changed, but he became one of the key leaders of the move of God in Bolivia. Wow. Just powerful. But he wasn't trained, like he didn't have like decades of theological seminary and teaching like that. He did one thing. He did this. You all you young folks, listen to me. Old folks too. Y'all listen to. You still got something to learn. I do too. He did this. Lord, here I am. Speak. I don't need anything. I need you. I'll go wherever you want me to go. I'll say and do whatever you want me to say and do.
Amen.
That's what he did. And he would just offer himself like that to the Lord all the time. And God moved through that young man. Millions of souls came into the kingdom because of that young man's commitment of what I just said.
Amen.
In Bolivia. It started this way. He was being trained as a physician in the U.S. when God got a hold of him. And he heard the Holy Spirit say to him, let's see if I remember his name, Julio. Julio, I want you to go back to Bolivia. Okay, Lord. So he leaves. He leaves behind his future. He leaves behind his form of being able to support himself. He goes back to Bolivia. He shows up at his mom and dad's house. Julio, what are you doing here? You're supposed to be in Los Angeles. Training. Mom, Dad, the Lord told me to come back to Bolivia. Julio, what's wrong with you? You crazy. No, the Lord told me to come back. His dad got so upset with him, he kicked him out of the house. Kicked him out. And then Julio, okay, Lord, where I go? Go to your friends. Stay with them. So he went and stayed with his friends. He went to the only place that he knew was the religious leadership of the day. It was the Catholic Church. So he went to the Catholic Church, and he just had an audience with him to tell him, the Lord told me he's about to move powerfully in Bolivia. He's telling them about this download God gave him. They rejected him. They called him a heretic. They said, get out of our church. You don't have any platform here. Get out.
Wow.
Rejected by his family. Rejected by the only thing he knew was leadership in the church. Lord, what do I do? Start meeting with your friends. So he started meeting with his friends in his home. And Julio just would preach and talk about whatever the Lord would give him that day, just what the download was. And he started doing that. He was just faithful in that little bit that he knew. And God started showing up. God started showing up so powerful, like people would get healed there in those meetings. Julio wasn't even praying for healing. But he was just sharing whatever he was supposed to share. And God just showed up. And people would just get healed being in the atmosphere. And it started in the little home church meetings. It grew to the point where stadiums were not big enough to contain all the people who wanted to come because of how powerful God was moving. There was one meeting, one of the first meetings that he had was in a town called La Paz, the Peace, La Paz. And they had never had a meeting. Let me back up. So there was a man who was a paralytic. And this gentleman asked Julio to come pray for this paralytic guy. And the guy said, well, Julio goes, I'm not a healer. I care about his soul. So I'll come and I will speak to his soul that he receives Jesus. So he goes to this young man and he tells him about how he was concerned about his soul. And so he leads him to the Lord, and this guy receives Jesus as a Savior. And as he's, you know, saying, Lord, I receive you into my heart, all of a sudden he started feeling tingling in his feet. And then he goes, I feel tingling in my feet. And then he goes, I feel my legs are on fire. And then he gets up and he starts jumping around. The Lord healed him of his paralysis after Julio wasn't even praying for that. God healed him of this man of his paralysis. Well, he happened to be one of the assistants or helpers of the president of Bolivia. And when the president of Bolivia heard about it, one day Julio's preaching in his little house church thing. He felt like from the Lord, like, we need to start going into stadiums, but we don't have any resources. We don't even have any money. How would we ever get a stadium? And he just heard from Jesus, like Jesus said, Julio, I will provide. I will do it my way. So here's a knock on the door. He's preaching in this house church. And somebody comes to Julio as he's preaching. He goes, hey, the president of Bolivia wants to talk to you. And Julio goes, stop teasing me, man. You're always teasing me all the time. I'm trying to just, look, don't you see I'm preaching here? And no, Julio, really. The president of Bolivia, he's outside. He wants to talk to you. He's in his car. He goes out there. It's the president of Bolivia is there and his wife. And he, is this crazy or what? Has Joe Biden showed up here yet, by the way? Does he know I'm preaching today? Joe! Okay, yeah, anyway. But who, you know, so there's the president of Bolivia outside in his car. He asked Julio, what can I do for you? Because, you know, here he had healed his, like, top aide and servant or whatever. Julio, what can I do for you? And he goes, Mr. President, I don't need anything. But I can see that you're very tired. And I can see that carrying the country on your shoulders has been a great burden. And I see that you need Jesus. Can I pray for you?
Wow. Lord God. Wow. Brother, this sounds just like the book of Acts.
Julio, what's wrong with you, man? This is your opportunity. You got the president. You could have just asked for anything. I don't need anything. But I see that you need Jesus. Come on. Isn't that good?
Yeah.
So the president says, okay. And right there in the car, Julio led the president of Bolivia and his wife to the Lord. They received Christ. And so then the president gets up from his knees and says, Julio, is there something I can do for you? Mr. President, I don't need anything. But I see that Bolivia needs Jesus. Could you help us get a stadium so we can preach the gospel? And he opened up, and the whole country of Bolivia got opened up to Julio. That's how the Lord provided. They didn't have a dime to their name. Crowds started showing up in the tens of thousands at these stadiums. And God would just sovereignly move. Julio's messages were simple. That we just need to love Jesus, and Jesus is coming back soon, and Jesus loves you. His messages were simple. They weren't complicated. It wasn't like some big orchestra thing going on. He didn't have to have all the marketing glitz and everything that we tend to think you got to have now. Man, if you want the Spirit to really move, you need some big speakers. I mean, they got to be soul body shaking speaker. There was one stadium meeting they had. There was more people out of the stadium than in the stadium. There was 25,000 in the stadium because that's all it could hold. There was 40,000 outside. So he preaches inside. But this is what Fernando Villalobos, he was a key leader in this, and he watched it firsthand. This is, I'm telling you the story that Fernando wrote in his book. And he was telling me at the table as we were talking about what the Lord is about to do. This was in 74, 75. When the Jesus movement was happening here in the United States, the Jesus, I don't know what you want to call it, the Jesus tidal wave was happening in Bolivia. I know it happened powerfully here in the mid-70s, but man, it really happened there. And it happened in actually several different countries at the same time. Isn't that a something? It was a sovereign move of God. Julio went to a Catherine Kuhlman meeting before he left to come back from Bolivia. And he couldn't get inside because it was so crowded. But he was just outside. And while he was outside, the Lord said, I want you to pray for this person. And so he prayed for somebody, and the Holy Spirit showed up, and that person got healed. And then the guy standing next to him said, hey, will you pray for me? And so he prays for him, and that guy gets healed. And so all these people started getting healing outside of the Catherine Kuhlman meeting. And the people that were working for Catherine Kuhlman said, hey, there's a disturbance outside. A bunch of people are getting healed, and you want us to go stop it and get them in here or whatever? What kind of a boneheaded thinking do we have sometimes, y'all? Anyway, so they said to him, Catherine says, no, the Lord told me that this was going to happen. Leave him alone. Let him do what he's supposed to do. That's where he started. Isn't that something? Isn't that weird? Get back to the stadium thing. So there's 25,000 in the stadium, 40,000 outside. He preaches to the 25,000 in. People just, the Lord just shows up. People get healed. He's not even praying for healing. People are getting healed. Man. And then he felt like, I got to go preach to these 40,000 outside the stadium. But they didn't have any speakers. They had two big speakers, but the cables weren't long enough to connect them. So they were disconnected, hanging out. But he gets up on the roof of the stadium so people could see him, and he starts preaching. And all of a sudden, they start hearing his voice coming out of the speakers. They weren't even connected. And it was said in that particular instance that people heard him preaching 60 blocks away, which is about 3 miles, we calculated. 3 miles away, they could hear him preaching in that city. God was moving. But it was a man who was willing to lay down his life, to pray and say, God, I'm available. What do you want me to say? What do you want me to do? His dad, after, a short amount of time, maybe a month or so or something, came to a house meeting, and his dad saw people getting healed. And his dad repented and received Christ as his Savior. And, you know, finally supported Julio. Isn't that something, though? He got rejected against by everything in the beginning. Isn't that something that sometimes happens to us, you know? We get rejected. We don't know. So, I feel like the Lord's about to move powerfully. But I think all he's looking for is, hey, are you willing and are you obedient? Amen. Are you willing and obedient? Will you present yourself to me? And by the way, they didn't know how God was going to do things, but if they just let the Holy Spirit move, he ended up doing miraculous and powerful things far beyond their imagination. It got so big. This is what happened to Fernando. So he goes to a house meeting. He's not a Christian yet, you know, just Catholic. And he hadn't really received Christ as a Savior. He goes to a house meeting. He receives the Lord. A week after getting saved, okay, he's 19 years old, Fernando. He's in another house meeting, and he hears the Lord say to him, Fernando, I want you to go to the city, and I want you to preach the gospel. And Fernando's going, first of all, he goes, it wasn't on his grid that God could speak. You know, he hears this in his mind, God speaking to him this way. So as a Catholic, he didn't know God would do that. So he hears his voice and he's going, I wonder if it's the drugs that I had. You know, that's what he's thinking. I had a relapse. I don't know what's going on with me. So he goes to the one guy that he knows who's the leader, who by him, that this leader had only been following the Lord about 2 months. And he goes to that guy and he goes, I feel like the Lord just said something to me. Shh, shh, wait. The guy goes, don't tell me anything. I'm going to go ask the Lord what he told you. Don't tell me nothing. So he goes in the corner and he's in the corner. He's doing this. So Fernando's going, I think he's on drugs. But so he's having this conversation with God in the corner, waving his arms and, you know, whatever. He comes back to Fernando. He goes, Fernando, the Lord tells me that he wants you to go preach the gospel in the city. And then just right when he was pronouncing that, another friend of Fernando's was walking by. And he turns to Fernando and he goes, the Lord just tells me that he wants you to go preach the gospel in the city. And so he's a week old now in Christ, okay? A week. So he goes, okay, I will go. He was in, you know, lived in the country. Never really been to the city. Kind of petrified of it. So he goes to the city and he didn't even know where to go. So he just he heard about a house church. So he goes there and there's about 40 people or something packed in there. And he tells them, he goes, the Lord told me to come and preach the gospel here in the city. And so they said, okay, come up here, Fernando. Week old in Christ. He didn't even know what to say. He never gave a message before. Nothing. Didn't even know how to do a message. Hadn't even studied the scriptures enough to give a message. So he just walks up, he just obeys, and he opens up his mouth and he starts speaking. And he said, for 40 minutes, I just was speaking and talking and whatever I knew, whatever came to my mind, that's what I talked about. And after the 40 minutes, the guy who was the leader of the home church, he come up to him and goes, Fernando, do you know what you just did? No, I don't know. I don't know what I did. I just talked and gave what I thought about. He said, Fernando, you just quoted from the scripture for 40 minutes, verse by verse, about the glory of God. Are you ready? Are you ready? Who needs Jesus? Who needs Jesus in Martinsville? Who needs Jesus in Virginia?
Yeah. Amen.
Who needs Jesus in Richmond?
Right.
Charlottesville? What does God want to do? Okay. I think you're all qualified. If Fernando was qualified being a week old in Christ, I think you guys are overqualified. You're overqualified. You got the goods. So go for it. Okay. All right. So, but one thing Fernando did tell me, he said this. He said, you know, we were all so young in the Lord and everything. I think it would have helped if we had a little bit more planning and created some, you know, some long-term structure things so we could sustain things. Because the Spirit of God moved powerfully there and millions got swept into the kingdom. But it was like one of those, you know, revival things that happened for a few years and then, you know, didn't get sustained. I'm sure there was things established, but he said he feels like, you know, there could have been things better that way. And that's one of the things he's like learning and thinking about and studying about and talking about. But he learned that lesson about just, you know, hey, just go and be the mouthpiece of the Lord and go and do what the Lord tells you to do. And he'll give you the message of what you're supposed to give in that hour in which you're there. And that's how he's lived his life these last several, I don't know, four or five decades. Isn't that something? What an amazing story, this man. And I was thinking about, you know, there's that aspect of, you know, how you live your life. And then there's also the aspect of how God gives you something to do. And you're supposed to just do it faithfully, whether you see fruit from it or you don't see fruit from it. But in the end, it will speak if you'll just stick with it. And so I was hearing this download last night and this morning and in the middle of the night about Noah. You know, Noah was a really interesting man. The Lord spoke to him one day and said, Noah, I want you to go build an ark. What's an ark? Well, Noah, it's a boat. And it's, what's a boat? Well, it's something that floats on water. What is that? They didn't have those things. God's talking to Noah about something that didn't exist. Is that the only time that he's ever done that? When God started talking to Julio and Fernando, the charismatic movement in Bolivia did not exist. What is that supposed to look like?
Right.
Go do this.
Right.
What is that?
Right.
Oh, you're going to hear my voice. Fernando didn't even know what hearing the voice of God was like. That's how they learned the voice of God, when he would just show up like that.
Right.
No one taught them. They had to learn it in the moment.
Right.
Same with Noah. Noah, go build a boat. Okay. Where? How do I do it? What is a boat? He didn't even know what a boat was. He starts building this thing. So in the very beginning, when the Lord begins to give you a vision of what you're supposed to do, there's a few things I was thinking about with this. First of all, you're going to have a battle as to whether or not you believe what it is you've heard. Go build a boat. I don't even know what a boat is. How long is this going to take, Lord? 100 years. If I would have started building a boat when I was born, I would be 60% of the way through right now. That took a long time to build. Who do you suppose were Noah's greatest critics as he was building something that God told him to do? I don't know who said that, but shh. Glad he said that. Why aren't you out there doing what all the other guys are doing? Why are you building on that structure? You don't even know what that thing is. Yeah, Noah's wife was Southern. Doggone it, Noah. I knew I shouldn't have married you. So he's like building on that thing. Everyone's criticizing him. What's this thing supposed to do again? Float? On what? You see any water around here, Noah? Noah, the closest lake is about 500 miles. How are you going to get that thing over there? You are crazy. That's what happens, though, when you get vision. You get a vision, the Lord's telling you, you're going to have critics. And some of them might be the folks that are closest to you. And they're going to think you're crazy. They're going to think you're a Looney Tune. And after you've been working on it for about 5 or 6 years, they're going to go, I told you so. I told you. You moron. You know? I guarantee you Noah got all kinds of names thrown at him.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. But he stuck with it, which I think is amazing. The faith that you had to have to build and to put together a vision. You know, he didn't really see any fruit of that for 100 years. 100 years, you know, year 99 and 364 day into it. He's putting the last bit of pitch on it. You know, all right, it's done. What now? And then these animals started showing up. He didn't really see a movement toward the vision of being fulfilled until he finished what it was the Lord told him to do. What has the Lord told you to do? What has the Lord told you to do? There's going to be lots of critics. There's going to be times of testing your faith. And you're doing things, and it doesn't seem like nothing's happening. That's the trial of your faith. That's a trial. And even though it's tested by fire, it will birth the power of the Lord if you'll stick with it. If you'll stick with it and don't let go. God's birthing vision in your house here. God's birthing things in you now. It's precious. Don't let it go. Continue to pursue it, even though you don't see the fruit of it for a season. But it will speak in the end if you'll be faithful. And I don't know if it'll be like Fernando or if it'll be like Noah or it'll be somewhere in between. Who knows? What's the most important thing? Just be faithful. Just be willing and obedient and follow whatever it is he shows you to do.
Right?
And as you stick with it, it will speak and not lie. And you'll see the fruit of it. But I firmly believe the Spirit of God is about to move in a powerful way in our nation.
Amen.
I think the time of preparation is still here with us. But how much longer do we have to prepare? I don't know. But do whatever preparation you can do. Get ready, because the King is coming.
Amen.
Get ready, because the King is coming.
Yes.
And it's going to be a powerful wave of His Spirit.
Yes.
Moving through the earth. And He needs all hands on deck. There was so many people who came to the Lord there in Bolivia when the wave of His Spirit came. Churches weren't big enough. Buildings were not big enough.
Right.
They met in fields. The stadiums weren't big enough. Can you imagine that?
Right.
Martinsville Speedway is not big enough for what God wants to do. So. Anyway, it was all hands on deck. And it was like, man, you just did what you could do and just love people. They met in houses and God would just show up sovereignly, just sovereignly. No one was praying for anybody to get healed and they were getting healed. That's the power of God moving. Wouldn't that be exciting to see something like that? Be part of that? I know He's going to do it again. When? I don't know when, but I know it's coming. And I just say to you, get ready. Write down the vision that God has given you and make it plain so that you can run and read it and run at the same time. In other words, you can read it, you know what to do, how to follow it, as you're in action, whatever it is that God has you doing.